The last three Sundays that I've preached, I've preached about keys to the kingdom, right? There are keys to the kingdom, and I've been trying to share some of those keys, but there's something about keys that we have to be very careful of here, because most people that are in Christendom know about the keys. They read about keys, and they understand that the keys are there for a purpose. But the word says that there are secrets to the keys to the kingdom, right? And so keys mean something, right? They lock something up. Something of value is behind those keys. But unless you know the secrets to them, do you know, for example, what door that key would open? What's the guess?
Downstairs closet.
No, it's it's the key to the happy room where I keep lots of guitars. But unless you know that, it's of no value to you. You can try it on every lock in this place. You can try it on every lock at my house. You can try it in my car. I have the key. But what good is it going to do you? But I've memorized that key. I know that key inside and out. But unless you know the secret to that key, it won't do you any good. You can try it on locks the rest of your life if you don't know exactly where it's supposed to be, exactly how to use it. So keys carry so much with them. And we need to be careful what we see Jesus doing with this stuff. Keys are only good if you know what they're for. Religious people have keys, but often they don't know how to use them. And that's the sad part, I think. So, if the key to getting into heaven, the key to getting into heaven is to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, right? You know that stuff. And so you receive salvation. You get into the lobby of heaven with that, right? But there are many more doors inside heaven to open. But most of Christendom never moves past the lobby. They're in. Their way has been paid. They've used that key properly. But there are other keys to other doors. Doors of provision, doors of healing, doors of what do you need? It's all there. But unless we use the keys appropriately, and sometimes in the right order, you got to go through this door to go to that door. But there's secrets. So I just want to show you a little bit about that, and hopefully I can do it quickly, so bear with me if you... Good news of the kingdom is what Jesus came to preach. The good news of the kingdom, the gospel. Gospel just means good news, right? Means a little bit more than that, but good, glad, merry news that makes you want to sing and dance and twirl about with great joy. That's that's about what gospel means. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know the scriptures, but you do not know the kingdom of God. Knowing the scriptures isn't going to get you the stuff of the kingdom. And here's my conundrum. Here's my troublesome issue that I've had for so long. I see people that know the keys, that know the stuff, that are living exemplary lives as far as I can tell. And yet, they can't pay their bills. They have issues in their lives. They have mortgages. They have. If you're a king's kid, don't you think that your house should be paid for?
Yeah.
I mean, just. I'm not talking about your religious mind here. Well, of course, you know, we've got to work our way to get over that. If you were the child of a king, would you not expect your house to be paid for? I would. I think that's normal in kingdom mentality. But mine isn't paid for. But this is the year of Jubilee. And so I'm looking hard for secrets. Where are the secrets, Lord? I'm searching them out. It's the glory of God to hide a thing and the glory of kings to search them out. And so we want to do that. We want to be that together. So if you will go through just a couple of things with me very quickly, I'll get to something that I want to say to you. Luke 4:43. And he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Of course, that makes sense, right? I was sent for this purpose. But we read over it too quickly. He was sent for the purpose of preaching the good news of the kingdom. He wasn't sent here to preach the good news of the blood or of the cross or of the resurrection or any of those things. They were all a part of the process to get to the return of the kingdom. Right? Now, I don't have time to do it, but Adam and Eve were in the garden, set there by God himself, visited by God in the cool of the evening each day. Or the cool of the day, actually. They were to have dominion. They had authority. That's our word for the year is authority. And so we're looking into authority, and keys are part of authority. As if you have the key to a room, you have authority over that room, right? In some way or another. The keys are very much a part of that. So they, through their sin, and let's not go through that whole thing right now, but through it, the devil took the keys, took the authority that they had, and he was in charge of this thing. So Jesus had to come, live a perfect life, willingly go to the cross as a sinless man, die a horrid death, paying the price for the sins of all forever. Amen. And thereby getting back the keys. Thereby getting back the authority that had been lost by Adam. Okay? Y'all with me? If you need more explanation for that, then just about anybody could tell you here. So, and I'm glad to talk to you. But you got to know it was paradise lost and paradise regained. The kingdom is what it was about. He came to preach the good news of the kingdom. Right? The kingdom has good news. The kingdom is good news. Okay? Luke 12:32. This is the purpose he came. 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give to you the kingdom. The kingdom. He came that you might know that. Matthew 25, 34. Then the king shall say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When was the kingdom established? The kingdom was established before there was an earth. And you were in line for inheritance of the kingdom before the earth was established. This is a big deal. And we gloss over it too quickly. Part of the reason I've glossed over it is that there's such a religious counter movement about it. You know, they talk about people who preach the kingdom as, oh, you're a kingdom person. You're a kingdom person, like, ooh, you're a newfie, right? One of my favorite newfies is here. You know, when I grew up, saying you're a newfie meant that you were somehow mentally deficient and the butt of jokes. It was our way of feeling superior. Since I've met some people from Newfoundland, I fell in love with them. I don't know one person that I've met from Newfoundland that I haven't thought was superior in most ways. It's amazing. But yet, because it was the popular thing to do, we did it. And there were Newfie jokes. What's that about? And so we got to get past all of that stuff. And so by me reading all of this stuff that's out there about, ooh, those dirty kingdom people and all of their nasty ideas, I've missed the gospel of the kingdom. So sad. Those boot marks on my behind are from me. I did that myself. Inherit the kingdom that was established before the foundation. Now, Revelation 5:10. How we do? Okay. Revelation 5:10. And you have made them a kingdom and priests for our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Now, this is the end, right? This is the last book, and it's talking to us about reigning. It's not about us going to heaven and being heavenly minded the rest of our eternity. It's about us reigning on earth. Amen. And we get the kingdom, and we bring the kingdom to earth, and we reign on earth for all the time that God says we're supposed to reign. That's what it's about. It's about the garden that God gave us initially, Him having to get it back for us because we blew it, and now it's up to us to move into how to rule and reign in that thing. It's about the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. The cross was a necessary part, a horrible necessary part of regaining the kingdom for us. He paid that price, and it's an amazing thing. But it's about the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom. Luke 16, 16. So we know it's at the end. We know it's at the beginning. Luke 16. This is about John the baptizer. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. there is something that is so wonderful about the gospel of the kingdom that everybody wants to get it. It is so dynamic and so wonderful. John was the amazing prophet, the last prophet of the Old Testament, if you don't include Jesus, because he's God and, you know, he's got his own rules. John was amazing. The law and the prophets were until him. No more. Now it's about the kingdom. Now it's not about the law and the prophets anymore. It's good stuff to read and good stuff to learn from, but it's about the kingdom. Did you read that way? Does this make sense to you? Are we all on the same page? Sort of? Same screen? It's about the kingdom. Okay, so I wanted to teach you a few things about kingdoms. But I'll do it some other time. There's nine things that I had written down here, but there's way more stuff about kingdoms. Kingdoms have a king, right? Duh. I figured that one out on my own. Kingdoms have territory. And I have preached about territory taking for much of my pastorate life. Territory taking is a huge part of the kingdom. And most of the wonderful territory we have to take is from ear to shining ear. Sea to shining sea. Okay. That's the biggest territory is right there. Kingdoms have citizens. Citizens of the kingdom. Not interlopers, not illegal aliens. They don't have the rights that citizens do. Citizens have rights in a kingdom, right? Citizens have expectations in a kingdom. Citizens are the ones that the kingdom work for, right? So the government is there to work for us, not us for them. All of religion is about us working to get to God. Us making God happy, us appeasing God. God, I'm putting $10 in the plate today. Would you give me $100 back tomorrow? You hear that? That's religion. And it's a principle of the kingdom. And it's true. But until you apply the keys, it's just going to pile up for you. Okay? It's there in a room. So why isn't it working? One of our biggest problems as people is that we want to control circumstances. All the circumstances of our lives, we want to control them and make them work for us. The outcome of whatever it is that we're doing, we want to have control of those things. We don't want to be surprised. We don't want it to be out of our control. And I think in the secrets of the kingdom, the secrets of the keys of the kingdom, there is some of that we regain. Adam and Eve never had to worry about a lion chewing their head. They were in control of the circumstances there. We are not. We go around a lion, you don't know what's going to happen. You're ready to run. Kingdoms also have a constitution or a covenant. We have this one, covenant. Kingdoms have laws. Kingdoms have government. Kingdom has privileges, the rights of citizens. Kingdoms have a code of ethics. Kingdoms have an army. Now, there's one thing that we need to understand. The Bible doesn't tell us here that we're an army, right? We've read into that. When The army of God is his host of angelic warriors. When Joshua was about to take Jericho, he's crying the same kind of prayer that I would. Oh God, oh God, oh God, what are we going to do? And this guy arrives, this man who is the captain of the host. And he is dressed in armor. The host is the army. And he's a captain of the army. And so Joshua, being a wise man, says, you with us or them? Because this guy was scary. And he says, no, I'm the captain. Now, the captain's always a good-looking guy. He's not the gnarled veteran that has scars and nasty. I'm the captain. You should see some of these guys that I've got. The army of God is the angelic host. They do the work for the kingdom people. Right? They're ministering servants, it says at the end of Hebrews 1, I think. They're to do the things that we, like Daniel. Daniel prayed. He waited for 21 days before he had an answer. But the angel that came to him after 21 days said, the moment you prayed, I was dispatched. There was a little blockage in the heavenly realm. Had to take a few demonic heads off, but here I am, 21 days later. The answer was dispatched right away. What's the delay time? Why is the delay time? You have been sowing into the kingdom for years and years, some of you, some of us. Years and years and not seeing much of a return. Does God owe us anything? No. But the kingdom principles are real and true and should be being poured out. So we have these things that are kingdom qualities. But the key to getting anything in the kingdom is to move under its authority. Right? To move under the kingdom authority. Jesus said, you want the stuff, you know, do the will of my Father. Do the will of my Father. And so we need to move under the authority. So Jesus, he is he's been killed, died, went to wherever he went, and came back with the keys. And then Acts 1:12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, on the Sabbath day. Journeys they went. No, this isn't what I wanted. When did I do this? 1:2. That's what it is. Until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about. Now, what did he talk about? He spent 3 years with them teaching them about the gospel of the kingdom. What does he talk to them about in the 40-day seminar that he has with them after he comes back from the dead? I want to teach you about the blood. I want to teach you about the cross. I want to teach you about what's your favorite topic in the kingdom. He says, during the 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. He is focused on the thing that is important to him. His purpose for coming was to establish the kingdom of God and then to train them in what the kingdom of God is about. After the resurrection, he's still involved in teaching the kingdom of God. So Matthew 13, verse 11. And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, this is the great unwashed, anybody that's not on the inside, to them it has not been given. They're not to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, how to make this thing work. Luke 11:52. The scripture speaks for itself, so yeah, I don't have to add a whole lot to these things. 11:52. Woe to you, lawyers. Woe to you, lawyers. For you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. The teachings of the religious community have hindered people from entering. Hindered themselves and hindered others from entering. And we've got to be so careful of that. Matthew 23:13. I'm just about to the place where I'm going to wrap her all up for you here. So Matthew 23:13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That's not three types of people, that's two. With one understanding of who they were. For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. People have been stopped from entering the kingdom by the teachers. You wonder why teachers are judged so harshly? Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. The kingdom is what it's about. Jesus is focused on the kingdom. Jesus is all about the kingdom. Jesus was at the establishment of the kingdom, not happy while the kingdom was in the hands of the other guy, then came and took the keys to the kingdom back, and then taught for 40 days his prime people about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom and allowing people to enter the kingdom, to be about the kingdom and all of the stuff that the kingdom has in it. But we're all living in the world. So we're missing something here. We're missing something. Okay? Twice this binding and loosing thing appears. Matthew 16:19 and 18:18. Go to Matthew 18:18 for a minute. Matthew 16:19 doesn't quite flow the same way. But Matthew 18:18 says, it's about if your brother sins against you. So it's about offense, right? If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him, blah, blah, blah. But then it says, it's all in context here. Truly I say to you, Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That scripture has been, will you excuse me if I say this for a minute? Bastardized by the church. And we use it against demons, against finances, against all sorts of things, when it has nothing to do with any of that in the way that we think. How many times when you have bound something, has it been bound? How many times when you've loosed something, have you seen it come pouring out? Doesn't happen. At least I haven't seen it. Sometimes the circumstances work out, but it just, this has bothered me for so many years. Why can't we get an understanding here? So I think I have an understanding. It's a key. It's a key. Binding simply means to lock. Loosing simply means to unlock. Okay? Now, what's that talking about? Locks, right? Keys. So here's a key. Whatever you allow to happen on earth will be allowed there. Whatever you don't allow to happen, as a kingdom person, don't read this as, oh, my sinful nature and, oh, I'm going to get my, you know, my stuff. You know, it's all about me. It's about you living under the authority of the kingdom. It's about you being a kingdom person and a kingdom-minded person. So, and here's where you have to listen very carefully and follow, if you will. The rest of what he's talking about here is forgiving. Forgiving. It's about the biggest issue, the biggest key once you get inside the lobby of heaven, the biggest key to get to the next thing is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. It's all about living without offense. You think of what it says, husbands, live sensitively with your wife, lest your prayers be hindered. Heaven is locked when you treat someone improperly. When you hold offense against somebody, and I don't mean like you, of course, we're all wonderful Christians here, right? We would never hold offense. I live my life unoffendable. I can't have coffee with them. It's about being unoffendable. I mean really unoffendable. It's like, well, I'm not going to apologize to my wife because I'm right. I'm right. It's not about being right. It's about allowing offense into your house. No way. I will go to my wife, whether I'm right or wrong, and say, forgive me. Right? Watch what happens. Like, you're on your way to the altar, and you know that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift at the altar and go make it right with your brother. What does that mean? Does that mean we should take our wonderful communion properly? No, it has nothing to do with that. God knows the principles of the kingdom. You think, right? He wrote them. You take your gift. He's not talking tithe here. He's talking gift. Right? You take your gift to the altar. There is a kingdom return to this thing. But if you lock heaven up, you don't get the return. So leave it there. Go make everything right. Go make things cool. Then take it up and out comes the return. Right? It's just so cool. It's about us living with no Unforgiveness. Now here's the one that just slapped me right up in the front of the face. Not on the side of the head or anything like that. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those that are willing to make peace regardless of anything. If you know your brother has aught against you, well, wait for him to come to you so that you can look like the big guy. It says, go to your brother. Right? That's where it happens. Blessed are the peacemakers because they shall be the sons. The huios, if you remember that teaching, they are the huios, the fully mature sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers. Let it wash through you and catch it, because all of creation is waiting for the huioses of God, the fully mature sons of God, to be revealed, because they are the ones that will speak healing to the planet and put Greenpeace out of business. How do you get to be a son of God, a fully mature son of God? By being a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, honey. No. It's about being a peacemaker. Finding a place, not letting offense be allowed in its most minute way. It's a germ that has no place in my household. And no place in my church, and no place in my community. I'm going to make peace in this place and make peace our goal. Because that's where the sons of God will be revealed. It's about forgiveness for each other. Not holding a thing back. And that starts to open the next group of doors. Because you're doing so much right. It's like I had this picture of William Holman Hunt's painting of Jesus at the door of your heart. And you remember, that picture is so profound because there is no door handle on Jesus' side. Right? It's just a slight, the door handle is only on the inside. You're the only one that can open it. You're the only one that can take the key. This is the secret. You're the only one that can open up that lock, which releases all of that stored up stuff that you've been accumulating up there with all of the good works and sowing and all of that stuff. All of that reaping is inside there. But your key only fits when you've forgiven everyone of everything. You unlock, you loose what is in heaven. That's where the key is. That's the secret, I think. This is subjective stuff, right? Everybody approaches the Bible from their own standpoint, their own subjectivity. It's not objective. Oh, that's what it says, so that's what we must do. We all think that that's the way we look at it, but everybody comes with preconceived ideas and notions. And if we just look at it, see if it means what I think it means in your heart, or see if you're going to just withhold a little bit, because really, they don't deserve to be forgiven. At the end of Matthew, or the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6. The end of the Lord's Prayer, it says, for if you forgive others, then our Father in heaven can forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then our Father in heaven cannot forgive you. Right? Thank you. So you talk about who's locking who in where? I'm withholding all of the stuff from heaven because I won't forgive. Look at the Lord's Prayer just for a second. Our Father who art in heaven, glorious Lord, hallowed be your name. What's the first thing he wants us to pray in there? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom. He's so fixated on kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done, that we would do what you want us to do here. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. So we put our want list out there for him. And then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here's the key to letting all of that provision come to us. Right? I've let you know what I needed. The prayer's out there. Now I'm going to put the key in the lock and release everything from my end. Because you've already answered it on day one of my prayer. But I have withheld it. Because I have unforgiveness. Because I am offended. That's such an important prayer. And it's the key to our understanding all of it. It's so good. Anyway, we get a chance now to come to the table. I went over, sorry. But the table is the place where he invites us to be seen for who we really are. Being transparent before him and before our community. And everyone is invited. Work with him on unforgiveness issues, even little ones that you've forgotten. Because something is holding us back from the peacemakers that we need to be. It's about us becoming peacemakers and letting the kingdom thrive. So good.